Welcome to a fantastic word from Pastor Marcus Dunham, an associate pastor here at Golden Triangle Church on the Rock in Southeast Texas. We are so glad you're joining us. For more information about Golden Triangle Church on the Rock Ministries, visit our website, cotr.com. Enjoy the word.
If we're ready to jump into the word today, we are going to be in Luke 19. And just this past Wednesday, I preached out of Luke 19. And I thought it'd be cool and I thought it'd be fun for us to do a series leading up to Easter entitled The Road to the Cross. And this past Wednesday, we talked about how Jesus was in Jericho. But before that, in Luke chapter 9, we see Jesus deciding to turn his face and to begin to make his way towards Jerusalem. And he's making his last trip that he would ever make to Jerusalem because the end of his trip will end with him on the cross. And so he is making this last trip to Jerusalem, and he begins in Galilee, specifically in Capernaum, and he is making his way down the eastern bank of the Jordan River. And chapters 12 through 18 is Jesus's ministry in the region of Perea, which we don't see that term in the Bible, but it's listed as the region or the area on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and that's where it's talking about. And so there's a lot of things that Jesus does, but in chapter 19, he makes his way into Judea, and he passes through the town of Jericho. And if you were here this past Wednesday, then you heard me talk about how he encountered Zacchaeus, and Jericho was a very affluent area, it catered to the rich and wealthy specifically. And Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man because of his, because of what he did. He was a tax collector, a chief tax collector. So he was pretty well off. But also because of his life decisions, he found himself in a situation in life where nobody included him in their life. In fact, he was considered an outcast. He was considered someone that no one wanted to be around. He was judged by others. And in fact, people would consider him as far away from God as you could be. But although that is what they said of him, Zacchaeus was a man that was looking for Jesus. And it was on that road in Jericho as Jesus passed along that he found Jesus. But Jesus was also looking for Zacchaeus. And there's a lot of people in our life who are looking for Jesus if we can have the eyes that Jesus has. If we can see people the way that Jesus sees them. And we'll see people who are hurting and who are looking for Jesus. Many times they're one step away. All they need for us is just to reach out. And so Jesus, he passes through Jericho, and he is continuing his journey to Jerusalem. And Jericho is about 18 miles from Jerusalem. And so Jesus is making his way. It will take about 5 to 6 hours walking. And on the road to Jerusalem, he stops about 2 miles from Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, just outside a city called Bethphage. And that is where we're going to pick up in chapter 19. And Jesus is there just outside a small town named Bethphage. So beginning in verse 28 of Luke chapter 19, if you're not following on your phones, then you can follow along here on the screen. And it says this, verse 28, when he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. He's continuing his journey to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, or the Mount of Olives, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes onto the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. And we got two more verses here. Then as he was drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, that was a lot we just read there. So just a quick review of what happened. Jesus, as he is getting ready to enter into Jerusalem, he stops just outside the city of Bethphage, and he sends two of his disciples to go and retrieve a colt, a child donkey that belongs to someone else. And just outside, so he sends them into Bethphage, and Jesus says that if the owners ask why you were receiving or taking that donkey, let them know that the Lord is in need of it. So that's exactly what the disciples do. They go into Bethphage. They go and they find this colt. And as they begin to loose it, as they begin to get ready to take it away, the owners come out and ask, "Hey, what are you doing?" And they tell the owners just as Jesus had told them. And so they did that. And then after doing so, they come back. They bring the colt to Jesus. They mount their clothes. And we'll explain what that means in just a minute. And he hops on to that colt, and he makes his way down the road to Jerusalem, down the Mount of Olives. And as he gets there, people were there ready, waiting on Jesus as they begin to lay their clothes onto the floor, laying their cloaks specifically, their coats on the way as Jesus is making his way, and the book of Matthew says, also palm leaves as he makes his way into Jerusalem, and he makes his grand entrance as his people pay homage to Jesus as their king. Now, the idea of Jesus riding into the city of Jerusalem or any city was a common idea, a common thing in that time. It was typical for a king, a victorious king, to enter into a city. While they normally wouldn't do so on a donkey, they would more so on a horse because of what it represented. It showed that you were a king who was victorious in battle. And they would have citizens of their kingdom go before singing their praises. They would have soldiers from their army marching ahead, and there would be symbols of all the things that they have accomplished. It was a way of informing everyone in that city of who that king was. It was a way to make sure that people knew, wow, this guy is a big deal. So that's kind of the common thing, but we don't see exactly that with Jesus. While he does march in and he does have people that are going before him and praising him, it's not the same thing. Even though Jesus was the true King of Kings, he was the true Lord of Lords, he was the creator of the entire world and the sustainer of everything in life, while all of that was true, he did not need to necessarily put that on display. He wasn't going in there making a big show of who he was. Jesus came in riding on a young donkey. Now, Jesus will return to Jerusalem one day on a white horse. In victory, that will happen. But on this day, he was riding in on a donkey, bringing peace with a relatively small crowd of people singing his praises. And if you were used to grand entrances in this day, you know, if you were there and you were used to these type of grand entrances, you really wouldn't have necessarily been impressed. But the strength of his kingdom was not in a public demonstration, but the strength of his kingdom was in the essence of who he was. It was Jesus himself. You know, he didn't need any tricks, no gimmicks. There was no public parade. There was nothing that he needed to announce who he was, although it did happen. None of that, all of the extra stuff wasn't necessary. Instead, the only presentation that was needed was Jesus himself. And that right there is important because, you know, Jesus didn't feel the need to dress himself up for everyone. And similarly, we don't need to dress Jesus up for anybody else. You know, we don't need to try to make him look better. We don't need to try to impress people. All we have to do is simply give them Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. Because I believe that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. We don't need to add anything to the mixture. It's Jesus alone. And it's all about him. And what I love about Easter is while we are beneficiaries of the cross and we are beneficiaries of the resurrection of Jesus, Easter is all about Jesus. It's all about him and what he accomplished. On Easter Sunday, we're going to worship him. We're going to praise him. We're going to thank him. We're going to exalt him. We're going to remind ourselves of who Jesus was and what he did for us. And while we are beneficiaries of it, at the end of the day, it is all about Jesus. It's all about him. Amen? Now, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was still a big deal. It was a very big deal. But it was a big deal because as he was coming in, as he was being ushered into the city of David, it was a fulfillment of prophecy that is found in the book of Zechariah. So Zechariah 9:9 says this. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Talking about a child donkey. Prophesying of the day that Jesus would be ushered into the city of Jerusalem. This was a big deal. Not because of the demonstration or because of the parade, but because of what it meant. It was something peculiar was happening, and people recognized what was happening, but they only recognized half of it. You see, there are a few threads that we see in Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. We see Jesus as a mighty king. The people who were there singing his praises were praising him because they were worshiping him and praising him as their king. He's coming in, and they begin to lay their cloaks onto the ground, and that's something in that day that you would do to pay honor and homage to your king as him being worthy. And that's what they were saying, that he is worthy as he is making his way on a donkey into Jerusalem. They are laying their cloaks down and they are worshiping and praising him as their king. And even though, you know, King Saul and King David and King Solomon and all these kings that came before, although they were kings as well, they were only a type and shadow of who Jesus would be. They were pointing to Jesus as the true king of Israel who would come to establish a new kingdom there. So they were worshiping him as their true king, as their king. That's what they were doing. It was, and we see that. But not only that, another thread that we see is Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. You know, there were generations, that word Messiah means Savior. And they had been told, and they were told stories as children, and as they became parents, they began to teach their children about a long-awaited Messiah who one day would come, who was promised generations upon generations before that one day he would come to save and to deliver the people of Israel from oppression, and one day that he would establish a new kingdom. That was what they were waiting for. It was something that they had been teaching, something that they had learned about, and that if you were Jewish in that time, you knew that you were waiting for a Messiah. And they themselves, they were celebrating because they believed that Jesus was that Messiah. Now, while they did praise him as king. And while they did worship him as the Messiah, that was only half of it, because the other thread that we see here is, although they saw him as king and as the Messiah, Jesus was also misunderstood. You see, as they saw Jesus as their king, they saw him as one who was coming to establish a physical kingdom there in Israel. That he was going to establish a new kingdom, and they were going to be his people. They were going to have the last laugh, and it was going to be a kingdom there on earth. That's what they imagined. And they imagined that the Messiah who had come to deliver them, that he was going to deliver them specifically from the Roman Empire and the oppression that they had on them. They imagined, they're celebrating that finally our Savior is here, our Messiah is here, and they are excited and they are celebrating. But they missed it. They didn't see, even his disciples imagined that he was going to deliver them from Roman rule. But Jesus, he was misunderstood. There was a veil over their eyes. They couldn't necessarily see exactly what Jesus was there for. They weren't celebrating him because he was coming to save them from their sin. He saw them as coming to save them from their physical oppression. And what we see later is that eventually those praises that they heaped on Jesus would quickly turn into a chance of crucify him later that week, because they missed what Jesus was there to do. You see, God had a plan, and his plan was that Jesus was coming to the earth for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to save people from their sin. And regardless of what everyone else thought, what everyone else did, what everyone else said, he had a plan that he was going to accomplish. And society was not going to define who Jesus was or what he had been called to do. Regardless of how loud the chants were, that was something that was already established. It wasn't going to change, regardless of what anyone said or did. And similarly, culture could not determine who Jesus was then, it still cannot determine who Jesus is today. And culture does try to paint a picture of Jesus to be someone who was cool with all different walks of life, that he'll roll with anything because he's a loving dude. He was a good guy. Culture paints Jesus being accepting of faith in all religions. That because of this, you know, he's cool with all walks of life. And culture tries to paint Jesus as more human than he was God. That they imagined that he was just a normal person, just like you and I, that he was a good teacher. But, he made mistakes like we did. That is not the truth. You see, we have to be careful not to fall into the trap of allowing the devil to change what we believe to be true about Jesus. Instead, let us uphold the true Jesus as a banner. Jesus came to earth to die on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sin. He resurrected from the grave, and he's sitting at the right hand of God today. And one day he will come back to redeem his people, to take us back, to take us into eternity with him. And the Word of God tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we will be saved. It's all about Jesus, and it's all in Jesus. And culture does not decide who Jesus is. That has already been established. Amen? Now, with all of that said, moving forward, I just think about how beautiful of a moment it was seeing Jesus being ushered into the city of Jerusalem. Just imagine, I know some of you have been to Israel and you've walked through that Eastern Gate, and imagining being there with Jesus on this donkey, if we knew then what we know now, and we were there and watched him, just how beautiful that moment was. How precious of a moment, knowing what was about to happen. It's amazing. And while that moment is all about Jesus, because it is, it's all about Jesus, I couldn't help but think about one person in this story that really stuck out to me. Whenever I was reading through it, there was a person that just, you know, I couldn't take my mind off of. And that person was the owner of the donkey, the owner of that colt. You know, Jesus knew that there was a young colt, a donkey, that was waiting on him. He knew that it was set aside. And no doubt, you know, I'm willing to stretch and believe that this was something that was preordained. It was already picked. It was already going to happen. But that donkey belonged to someone else. And the owner of the donkey knew that it had not been ridden yet. It was his. But he didn't know that Jesus, that the Lord had requested it, that it was something that it was going to be used by Jesus. He had no idea. Jesus sent his disciples to let them know that your donkey, this colt is in need, that the Lord is in need of this colt. And I thought it was really interesting because I just imagine if someone was to come to my house, and they were begin to loose your car. I mean, I don't know how they get in that car, but they we left it unlocked, and we just happened to go outside and we see somebody getting in our car. Every one of us, we'd be a little confused, like, okay, what's happening here? Okay, and I'm just imagining that the owner is just thinking, like, what in the world are these people doing? But it's amazing what we see next. The disciples go, they begin loosing this donkey, they begin loosing this colt, and whenever the owners ask, hey, what do you, you know, well, it doesn't say that they ask, but I mean, surely that's what happened. And they let him know, they told him what Jesus told him to say. The Lord is in need of it. The Lord is in need of it. He's in need of your colt. What we see next is the Bible says that the disciples brought that colt to Jesus. And if you didn't catch it, what's amazing there is that the owners of that donkey, they were not opposed to Jesus using their colt. Now, I don't know if they knew Jesus. I don't know if they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. I don't know if they believed in him. I have no idea. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But regardless, they said yes. When Jesus made a request of their colt, of something that belonged to them, they said yes. And it was on the back of this donkey that Jesus would be ushered into Jerusalem as the Savior of the world and the King of our hearts today, which would later be solidified that week. But it was because the Lord was in need of that colt, and the owners said yes. You know, I believe that today that the Lord is in need of you. He's in need of your life. He's in need of your children. He's in need of your talents, your abilities. He's in need of your service. He is in need of you. And through you, through your life, through your children, through your finances, through your talents, Jesus will be glorified and he will be lifted up where he would draw all men to himself. That's what Jesus said in John 12:32, that when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. On the back of that donkey, Jesus was ushered and he was worshiped and he was glorified. And the things that we offer to the Lord, he uses to draw all men to himself, and all we have to do is say yes. You know, I love how that the owners, although we don't know their names, they went down as people. They went down in history. They were included in God's plan. They played a part in his plan to redeem all people. And the same thing, God gives us an opportunity to participate in God's plan. And all we have to do is say yes. The question is, will you say yes? And I believe that many of you here have said yes. But maybe you're here today and maybe you know that the Lord has been tugging on your heart. Will you say yes? Now, many times we say to ourselves, well, I'm not good enough. There's no way the Lord can use me. What I have to give to the Lord is not enough. I mean, I don't have much to give the Lord. I've made too many mistakes. Look at my past. The Lord doesn't want to use me. That I don't know that I have what it takes to do what the Lord is going to ask me to do. Well, let me tell you about this donkey. You know what's interesting to me about a donkey is that in the Old Testament, anytime that there was a firstborn of livestock, it was customary for you to take that firstborn and to offer it to the Lord as a sacrifice. It was expected. And that's what they did. But there was one animal that God would not receive, and that was a donkey. In fact, he said, listen, when you have that firstborn, listen, you can replace it with a lamb. Go ahead, bring me a lamb. Bring me something, and you can offer it in its place, and then you can redeem it. And you can use it in whatever way that you would like. I mean, read Exodus 13:13. It says here that every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with the lamb. And it says this, but if you don't redeem it, if you don't want it, then you shall break its neck. In other words, it was a rejected animal. It was something that was rejected, something that was not of use to the Lord. And even if you used the donkey, there was only so much that you could use it for. I mean, those of us who have been with Pastor Ron for a while, we've heard him preach on that very thing. But I find this interesting that even though in the midst of that, Jesus found use of this donkey. And not only did he find use of it. He redeemed the thing that was once rejected in the eyes of God. He found use of this donkey. Listen, regardless of what we believe, regardless of what we think about ourselves, regardless of what we think that we have or don't have in our hands, anything, whatever we offer to the Lord, the thing that is in our possession that we may think may not be much, it is redeemed and it is of use in the hands of God. Whatever we have, whatever we feel that the Lord is calling us, whether it be our service, whether, you know, maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, you could take that step. Whether it is that you haven't taken the step of water baptism, you can take that step. Maybe it's you offering, you know, your life to serve the Lord. Maybe there's someone in your family who doesn't know the Lord and you feel it necessary to begin to pray for them, to begin to invest in them, to begin to love them, to begin to make a path for them to Jesus, whatever it may be. Whatever the Lord is asking of us today, let me tell you that the Lord can use you and the Lord can use whatever is in your hands. Amen? All we have to do is offer it to him. All we have to do is say yes. Few takeaways for today. Number one, let us allow Jesus to be king of our life. Allow Jesus to be king of your life. To be king means to be a Lord, means to be Lord, to be ruler, to have his rule in our hearts and in our lives. And it's something that we continually do as Christians while we make that decision when we come to Christ, while we made that decision once in our life, we still have to continue to make that decision every single day where we give him reign and rule in our life, especially when we're on the mountaintop. Amen? Can I get an amen? When things are going well, when things are going great, when things are wonderful, it becomes easy for us to say that I don't need God. We won't say it with our words, but we'll say it with our actions. Let us continually offer the Lord our life and say, Lord, you be king. As he was ushered into Jerusalem as king, let us also allow him every day to be king in our hearts. Number two, let us not allow culture to define who Jesus is in our life. Don't allow the culture, do not allow society, do not allow the people around us and the culture around us to define who Jesus is. Because culture does. We see, you know, I was a youth pastor for 10 years and just being on seeing the things that teenagers encounter every single day, whether it's TV shows, whether it's Instagram, whether it's a TikTok, whatever it is, whether it's YouTube, there is so much content being pushed out about who Jesus is and how who people believe Jesus to be. And maybe we know who Jesus is. We must make sure that our children and our grandchildren also know who Jesus is, that we establish who Jesus is to make sure that we do not allow the devil to change what we believe or change our family and our children, their beliefs of who Jesus is. Because that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to change what we believe to be believe to be the truth about Jesus. Let us ensure that we protect and we hold up a banner of who Jesus is in our life. That there's not a question, that the people around us, that when they ask, that when they wonder, when they have a question, that we don't feel the need to make him look better. All we got to do is give him Jesus. Amen? And then lastly, remember that the Lord is in need of you today. Remember that the Lord is in need of you. And I'm not making a ploy or saying anything that this church is in need of more people, but what I'm saying is that today the Lord may be saying to you, maybe there's something, maybe there's someone in your life, maybe there is something that the Lord is asking for and asking of you. Let me encourage you to take that step of faith. Man, there is something about a step of faith that is exciting. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about when you take that step? You know, I'm so proud. You know I talk about my brother, you know, but I get so excited, man. Whenever he took a huge step of faith when he moved here to Beaumont. And I just remember he just wasn't sure, but he felt the Lord spoke to him that he wanted him to make the move to come to Beaumont. And man, it seemed like the devil threw every possibility for him not to make that step. But man, you see him today and he is involved in church. He is being used by God and the people of Port Arthur. I'm just so proud. But it's because he took a step. And you have taken a step of faith. You know what it's like to take that step. But you know, there's always another one. How many of y'all know there's always another one that the Lord has for us? Let me encourage you to be ready, be open, that when the Lord calls on you and says, I am in need of you, I am in need of what's in your hands, that we don't hold anything too closely to our heart, that we're not willing to offer it to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our King. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. And Lord, we thank you for, Lord, what you have done on behalf of our God, on behalf of the entire world, Lord, going to the cross, dying for our sins, God, and making it possible, God, for us to have eternal life. Thank you. And Lord, today, we make you the King of our life. Lord, we say for you to have our way. Forgive us, Lord, if we have ever held anything back in our life. Today, we offer it to you. Right now, just in your heart, just begin to offer whatever it is in your heart, whatever in your life that has not been made available. Offer it to the Lord. God, we make you King in our life. Lord, I pray, God, that we would protect who you are in our heart, Lord, and also, God, those who are close to us, Father God, that we would raise the banner of who you are, that we would share Jesus with others. And Lord, today, God, we offer up our hearts, and Lord, we know that today that we are in need of you, God. There is nothing that we hold too tightly, but Lord, we offer it to you, Father. We worship you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. If you believe that, say amen. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us for this incredible word from Pastor Marcus Dunham. Visit cotr.com and subscribe to our social media platforms to stay up to date. As well, receive more encouraging messages from our pastors and details of the work we're doing both in our community and and communities like ours around the world. Today and every day, God bless.